This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special. So that is all that I have to say. Let's
us and fade away in the evening. But one day, from a seed blown from no one knew where, a new flower had come up, and the little prince had watched very closely over the small shoot, which was not at all like any of the other shoots on his planet. It could have been a new kind of baobab, but the plant soon stopped growing and started to watching the growth of an enormous bud, sensed that this could well lead to a miraculous apparition, but the flower continued her preparations for her beauty in the shelter of her green chamber. She chose her colors with great care. She dressed slowly, carefully arranging her petals one by one. She didn't wish to appear all crumpled like a poppy. She only wished to appear in the full glory of her beauty. Oh yes, she was very vain. Her mysterious preparations had lasted for days and days. And then, one morning when the sun was rising, she suddenly showed herself. And having worked so hard and taken such care, she yawned and said, still quite disheveled. But the little prince couldn't restrain his admiration and exclaimed, "Oh, how beautiful you are!" "Am I not?" the flower replied gently. "And I was born at the same time as the sun." The little prince had to admit that she was not excessively modest, but she was so enchanting. "I believe it's time for breakfast," she added a moment later. "Would you be kind enough to attend to my needs?" And the little prince, totally abashed, at once fetched a can of fresh water and sprinkled the flower. Thus it was that she began, from the outset, to torment him with her demanding vanity. One day, for example, referring to her four thorns, she said to the little prince, "Let them come, those tigers with their claws." "But there are no tigers on my planet," objected the little prince. "And anyway, tigers don't eat weeds." "But I am not a weed," the flower replied sweetly. "Please forgive me. I am not afraid of tigers, but I hate droughts. You wouldn't have a screen for me by any chance." "A horror of droughts. That's really bad luck for the plant," remarked the little prince, thinking to himself. "This flower is indeed a very complex creature. In the evening, I want you to put me under a glass dome. It is very cold here where you live, and rather uncomfortable. Now where I come from..." Too late, she interrupted herself. She had arrived as a seed. She could not have known anything about other worlds. Embarrassed at having been discovered preparing such a naive lie, she coughed a couple times as to confuse the little prince. "Where is the screen?" "I was going to fetch it, but you were talking to me." Whereupon she coughed a little more so that he should feel remorse. So the little prince, in spite of the goodwill his love engendered towards her, came gradually to doubt her. He had taken words of no importance seriously and became very unhappy. "I shouldn't have listened to her," he confided to me one day. "One should never listen to flowers. One must admire them and breathe their fragrance. Mine perfumed all my planet, but I did not know how to enjoy her. That tail of claws which irritated me so much should simply have touched my heart." And he confided further, "At the time, I was unable to understand anything. I should have based my judgment upon deeds and not words. She cast her fragrance and her radiance over me. suspect that for his escape, he took advantage of the migration of wild birds. On the morning of his departure, he put his planet in perfect order. He carefully swept his active volcanoes. He possessed two active volcanoes, and they were very convenient for eating his breakfast in the morning. He also had a volcano which was extinct, but as he pointed out, you never know. So he also cleaned out the extinct volcano. If they were properly swept, volcanoes burn gently and regularly without any eruptions. Volcanic eruptions are like chimney fires. On Earth, of course, we are far too small to sweep our volcanoes. That is why they cause us so much trouble. The little prince tore up, not without a sense of sorrow, the last little baobab shoots. He believed that he would never have to return. But all these familiar activities seemed very precious to him on that last morning. And when he watered the flower for the last time, her under her glass dome, he felt like crying. "Goodbye," he said to the flower, but she did not answer him. "Goodbye," he said again. The flower coughed, but it was not because she had a cold. "I've been silly," she whispered at last. "Please forgive me. Try to be happy." He was surprised by the absence of reproaches. He just stood there, quite bewildered, with the dome poised in midair. He did not understand this quiet sweetness. "Of course, I love you," the flower said to him. "If you were not aware of it, it was my fault. That is not important, but you have been just as foolish. Try to be happy. Leave that dome alone. I don't want it any longer." "But the wind. My cold is not that bad. The night air will do me good. I am a flower. But what about animals? I shall have to put up with a few caterpillars if I want to see butterflies. I understand they are very beautiful. Otherwise, who will ever call upon me? You will be very far away. As to large animals, I am not afraid of them. I have my claws." And as naive as ever, she showed her four thorns. Then she added, "Don't hang about so. It's irritating. You've decided to leave, so leave." For she didn't want him to see her crying. She was a very proud flower. sometimes do. He spluttered a bit and seemed vexed, for the king attached considerable importance to his authority being respected. He tolerated no disobedience. He was an absolute monarch. But as he was very kind, he gave reasonable orders. If I ordered a general, he would say, if I ordered a general to change himself into a sea bird, sit down, asked the little prince shyly. I order you to sit down, replied the king, majestically gathering a fold of his ermine robe around him. But the little prince was puzzled. The planet was tiny. Over what could this king really rule? Sire, he began, please excuse my asking you a question. I order you question to me, the king was quick to reply. Sire, over what do you rule? Over everything, replied the king very simply. Over everything. The king made a sweeping gesture, taking in his own planet, the other planets and the stars. Over all that, said the little prince. Over all that, replied the king, for he was not only an absolute monarch, but a universal one. And the stars obey. Of course, said the king, they obey immediately. I do not tolerate insubordination. The little prince marveled at such power. Had he possessed it, he could have watched not 44, but 72, or even 100, or 200 sunsets in one and the same day, without ever having to move his chair. And as he was feeling rather sad, remembering his small, abandoned planet, he plucked up the courage to ask the king a favor. I should like to see a sunset. Please do me that kindness. Order the sun to set. If I were to order a general to fly from one flower to another like a butterfly, or to write a tragedy, or to change himself into a seabird, and if the general did not carry out the order, which one of us would be at fault? It would be you, said the little prince firmly. Exactly. One must demand of each and every one what he or she is capable of. Authority is first and foremost based on reason. If you order your people to throw themselves into the sea, you will have a revolution on your hands. I have the right to demand obedience because my orders are reasonable ones. What about my sunset? The little prince reminded him, for he never forgot a question once he had asked it. You shall have your sunset. I shall demand it, but in accordance with scientific government, I shall wait until conditions are favorable. And when will that be? Asked the little prince. Hum, hum, replied the king, consulting his big calendar. Hum, hum, it will be around this evening about 20 minutes to 8. And you shall see how well I am obeyed. The little prince yawned. He regretted having to miss the sunset, but he was becoming a little bored. I have nothing more to do here, he said to the king. So I'll be on my way. Don't leave, said the king, who was too proud of having a subject. I'll make you minister. Minister of what? Of justice. But there is nobody here to judge. We do not know that, said the king. I haven't yet made a complete is the most difficult thing of all. It is far more difficult to judge oneself than to judge others. If you succeed in judging yourself rightly, then you indeed are very wise. As far as I am concerned, said the little prince, I can judge myself anywhere. I do not have to live here. Hum, hum, said the king. I do believe that somewhere on my planet there is an old rat. I can hear him at night. You can judge that old rat. You will condemn him to death from time to time. Thus his life will depend upon your justice. But on each occasion you will spare him, so as to keep him alive. He is the only one. The drunkard, why are you drinking? The little prince asked. In order disturbed three times. The first time was 22 years ago by a person who dropped down from goodness knows where. He made the most awful noise, and I made four errors in my subs. The second time was 11 years ago by an attack of rheumatism. I didn't get enough exercise. I have no time for slacking. I'm a serious man. Is it to you to own the stars? It makes me rich. And what is the point of being rich? It enables me to buy other stars. And if anybody can find any. This man, the little prince said to himself, reasons a bit like my drunkard. Nonetheless, he put a few more questions. certainly absolutely extraordinary, he said to himself as he continued on his journey. Chapter 14. The fifth planet was very strange. It was the smallest of all. There was just enough room for a lamppost and a lamplighter. The little prince wondered what could be the use of a lamppost and a lamplighter somewhere in the sky. He said to himself, perhaps the lamplighter is absurd. However, he is not as absurd as the king, the conceited man, the businessman, and the drunkard, for at least his work has some meaning. When he lights his street lamps, it is as if he brought one more star to life, or one more flower. When he extinguishes his lamp, it puts the flower or the star to sleep. It is a beautiful occupation, and since it is beautiful, it is truly useful. When he arrived on the planet, he saluted the lamplighter respectfully